We are in the book of Deuteronomy, the book where Moses makes his final address to the Israeli people in the 11th month of the 40th year of the Exodus, and he retells the law. He actually retells the story of the wilderness wanderings, and then he starts going back through all of the bits and pieces of information that the Israelis need to know before they go into the promised land in a couple of months. Now, he won't be there because he made a poor choice to let his emotions get the best of him and did not show proper honor for God. So he, like his brother and sister, he's going to be buried outside the boundaries of the promised land. But what we were looking at yesterday is that Moses starts when they left Mount Sinai to go to Kadesh Barnea to plan to go into the promised land, how the people wanted to check the land out, so Moses agreed with that, sent 12 spies in, but 10 of those spies came back and ruined the attitude of the people, got them to thinking there was no way in the world they could take this country. And God then penalizes them, adds another 38 and a half years of wandering in the wilderness so that the entire generation of the faithless would pass away. And so he was right there in that part of the story when we broke off yesterday. So let's get back to Moses' retelling of the story in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 41. Then you answered me, and remember that he's actually talking to the few kids that would have been in the audience back when this all happened that are now adults in their 50s. The oldest of them can't be more than 59, I think, at the most. So because they were there and may have shared some of the attitude at that time, he's addressing his remarks to them in particular as the new leaders. Then you answered me, we've sinned against he who is. We ourselves will go up and fight, just as he who is our God commanded us. And every one of you fastened on his weapons of war and thought it was easy to go up into the hill country. And you remember that. When they were told that they wouldn't get to go in, they said, oh, we're sorry. We want to go in. We're going to go. And so he who is said to me, say to them, do not go up or fight, for I am not in your midst, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, and you wouldn't listen, but you rebelled against the command of he who is, and presumptuously went up into the hill country. Then the Amorites who lived in that hill country came out against you, chased you as bees do, and beat you down in Seir as far as Hormah. And so you returned and wept before he who is, but he who is didn't listen to your voice or give ear to you. So you remained at Kadesh many days, the days that you remained there. So they got beat back from this illegitimate attempt to take the promised land. And then they began their timeout phase. So they stayed a little bit longer at Kadesh, maybe a year or so. When I go through the list that's in Deuteronomy 33 of the resting places during this time period, it seems as if they averaged about 2 years at each of these stages. So maybe they stayed another year or so at Kadesh to kick off this penalty phase. Chapter 2, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. That would be the Gulf of Aqaba arm of the Red Sea. As he who is told me, and for many days we traveled around Mount Seir. Now, Mount Seir is to the east of the valley that passes between the northern tip of the Gulf of Aqaba and the southern end of the Dead Sea. If you go and find where Petra is located and look at it in a map somewhere, that's the south. Pretty much the south end of Edom. And so Mount Seir is that region. So south of there, in that area is where they kept wandering around between Kadesh and where Mount Sinai must be located. They just kept wandering around to different places for year after year until the years were up. Verse number 2. Then he who is said to me, you've been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward and command the people. You are about to pass through the territory of your brothers, the people of Esau who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So be very careful. Do not contend with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as for the sole of the foot to tread on, because I've given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. So this is where we picked up the story at the beginning of the 40th year of the Exodus, when God at Kadesh Barnea again says, okay, it's time to head for the Promised Land, but you're not coming through the south. You're going to go up along the highway to the east side of the Dead Sea, and you're going to come across the Jordan at Jericho. That's where you're going to enter, toward the middle of the Promised Land. So the first place that you have to pass through along the royal highway is Mount Seir, or Edom. And you have to ask permission, because that's their sovereign territory, and they are a brother nation to you. Remember, the Edomites are descended from Esau, just like the Israelis are descended from Jacob. So they are brother nations. So God says, this is their territory, and you will respect it. Ask permission. Verse 6, you shall purchase food from them with money that you may eat. You shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. For he who is your God has blessed you in all the works of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, he who is has been with you. You've lacked nothing. So we went on away from our brothers, the people of Esau, who lived in Seir, along away from the Arabah road from Eilat and Ezion Geber. So he doesn't go into the details here. Of how the Edomites basically said, no way, you're not coming through our territory. Go around. So the Israelis had to swing to the south of Edom and go eastward and then northward and then northwestward until they came to the highway, the ancient highway, just to the north of the, I think it's the Arnon River, where the territory of Edom ends. Verse number 8 continues. So we turned and we went into the direction of the wilderness of Moab. So Moab is the next country to the north. They are also related to the Israelis. They are a cousin, or excuse me, is that right? I think it'd be a cousin nation, because Lot was the nephew of Abraham, and the Moabites and the Ammonites are the children of Lot. And so same thing applies there. Their territory was given to them by God, and it is sovereign, and the Israelis can't have it. So he who is said to me, remember this is Moses telling the story, do not harass Moab or contend with him in battle, for I will not give you any of their land for possession, because I have given Ar to the people of Lot for a possession. And then we have this little parenthetical bit of information. The Emim, I think, is a Hebrew word for frighteners. And it's another one of the giant groups. Book of Genesis was telling us about these. The Emim formerly lived there, a people great and many, and tall as the Anakim. Like the Anakim, they are also counted as the Rephaim, but the Moabites call them Emim, or Emim. The Horites also lived in Seir formerly, but the people of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them and settled in their place, as Israel did in the land of their possession, which he who is gave to them. So it's a little historical reminder that the Edomites took over the territory of the people called Seir, or Horite. And the Moabites took over the territory of the Emim, who are giants. And so this is why the Israelis are not permitted to take that territory from them, because God is the one that gave it to them. Verse 13. Now rise up and go over the brook Zered. Now that's actually the southern the northern territory, the northern marker for the end of Edom and the beginning of Moab. So we went over the brook Zered, and to help you place this, Zered drains into the southern end, the very southern end of what was the ancient Dead Sea, okay? And it's very clearly seen as a deep canyon on maps like, or excuse me, on 3D presentations of the earth, like Google Earth, for example. So we went over the brook Zered. Maybe I should explain the word brook here. A brook or a wadi is a wet weather stream. It gushes with water during the rainy season, but the rest of the time it's either dry or it only has a trickle or a small amount of water in it. So we went over the brook Zered, and the time from our living Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the brook Zered was 38 years, until the entire generation, that is, the men of war, had perished from the camp, as he who is had sworn to them. For indeed, the hand of he who is was against them to destroy them from the camp until they had perished. So, as soon as all the men of war had perished and were dead from among the people, he who is said to me, today you are to cross the border of Moab at Ar. And when you approach the territory of the people of Ammon, do not harass them or contend with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the people or the sons of Lot for a possession. So the Moabites were the brother tribe to the Ammonites, descendants of Lot. And if you travel along this ancient highway and you pass through Moab and go across their border to the north, you're going to have the Ammonites immediately in front and to the east. And so a reminder to the Israelis, they are also off limits. You can't have any of their territory, because they are descendants of the family. They're related in Abraham. Then we get a little historical reminder about this territory as well. It says in verse 20, it is also counted as a land of Rephaim. Rephaim formerly lived there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumim. And I was trying to remember, can't remember off the top of my head what Zamzumim has to do with, but it's another group of giants. And this is my opinion. That's all it's worth for you guys. I believe the book of Genesis, and now here in the book of Deuteronomy, teaches that the fallen angels apparently monkeyed around with the genetic code of humans before the flood, and created this hybrid group of people that were not on board with God's plan of doing things. And they were giant. They were big in size. The first group was flooded out. They apparently were brought into existence again during a second incursion shortly before the time of Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction. And Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction may have also taken out some of them, but definitely there had been some Mesopotamian military action against the giants in the time of Abraham, because Lot was captured in a reprisal or a recapture tour of the Mesopotamians who took on some of these giants. Well, now here we are 500 years beyond Abraham, and those territories that used to belong to the giants now belong to Moabite and Ammonite families. And so that's what we're being told here in this text. A little bit more about them. A people great and many, as tall as the Anakim, but he who is destroyed them before the Ammonites, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place, as he did for the people of Esau who live in Seir when he destroyed the Horites before them, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place even to this day. Now, I don't know if that means that the Horites were also part of this giant group, or it's just simply God's way of saying, the Ammonites kicked them out and took over their territory, just like Esau took over Seir. A little bit more. As for the Avivim, who lived in villages as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorim, who came from Kaphtor, destroyed them and settled in their place. Now, we know these Kaphtorim by a slightly different name, Philistine. And they were a group of peoples that migrated to the coast, the Mediterranean coast of Canaan, in a couple of different time periods after trouble over by Crete and in the Aegean Sea. And so we're just getting background material here. There are giants in the land of Canaan, and they are the remnants, the last bits and pieces of the giants going all the way back to the time of Abraham and before. All right, so verse number 24, we get back to Moses talking about their travels. Rise up, set out on your journey, and go over the valley of the Arnon. Behold, I've given into your hands Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to take possession, and I will contend with him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. So Moses reminds them, you had to go around Edom because Edom's territory is sovereign and they didn't want you to pass through. You passed along the border of Moab and you weren't allowed to take any of their territory because God gave that territory to them. You came close to the boundaries of Ammon, and you were not allowed to take any of their territory because they are also living in the land that God gave them. But then you were attacked by Sihon the Amorite. And because of that, I let you win against him in a battle of self-defense, in a war of self-defense, and then you got their land. Then you will end up getting the land of Og as well. He hasn't quite got to that part of the story. So I sent messengers, this is Moses still talking, from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, with words of peace saying, let me pass through your land. I will go by the road. I will turn aside neither to the right nor the left. You shall sell me the food for money that I may eat and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot as the sons of Esau who live in Seir and the Moabites who live in Ar did for me until I go over the Jordan into the land that he who is our God is giving us. So Moses did try to make arrangements legally to pass through the Amorite territory, but he was refused and attacked. Verse 30, but Sihon, the king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for he who is your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate that he might give him into your hand as he is this day. Now, this is new information. Apparently, things were bad enough on the eastern side of the Jordan among these Amorites who were related to the Canaanites that God decided it was time for them to be evicted as well. And so that's how this happened. Verse number 31. He who is said to me, behold, I've begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to take possession that you may occupy his land. Then Sihon came over against us, he and all his people, to battle at Jahaz. And he who is our God gave him over to us, and we defeated him and his sons and all his people. We captured all his cities at that time and devoted the destruction of every city. Man, women, children, we left no survivors, only the livestock we took as spoil for ourselves, and with the plunder of the cities that we captured. From Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, from the hill that is in that valley as far as Gilead, there's not a city too high for us. He who is our God gave it into our hands. Only to the land of the sons of Ammon we did not draw near, that is, to all the land or the banks of the river Yabok and the cities of the hill country, whatever he who is our God has forbidden us. So that's how they came into possession of the land immediately west of the Jordan Valley. Then, chapter 3, Moses goes over how they got the area to the north of that. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And he who is said to me, don't fear him, for I have given him and all his people and his land into your hand. And you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites who lived in Heshbon. So he who is our God gave into our hand Og, also the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we struck him down until he had no survivor left. And we took all his cities at that time. There's not a city that we didn't take from them. 60 cities, the whole region of the Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. All these were cities fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, besides very many unwalled villages. We devoted them to destruction, as we did to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, devoting to destruction every city, men, women, and children. But all the livestock and the spoil of the cities we took as our plunder. And so we took that land at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites, who were beyond the Jordan, from the valley of the Arnon to Mount Hermon. So that means that they now have possession from just a line at the north end of the Dead Sea, east-west line, all the way up to the foothills of Mount Hermon, which is north of the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. So that is all annexed territory now that was not part of the original Canaan, the original promised land. All that now belongs to Israel. And then we have a little note here. The Sidonians call Hermon Sirion, while the Amorites call it Senir. Just a historical note that helps some people understand where we're talking about. All the cities of the tableland and all Gilead and all Bashan was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. As far as Salaka and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. So all that territory of Og now belongs to the Israelis. Then we have a historical note that lets us know that Og was also a descendant of this giant hybrid race. For only Og, the king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. Behold, his bed was of iron. It is it not in Rabbah of the Ammonites? So the note that we see here is not from Moses. It is written by someone later when Rabbah was in possession of the Israelis. And there was apparently what we would call a museum there. And in that museum was Og's bed. And it was 9 cubits in length. Now, 9 cubits, when you use the long cubit, means that it was 15 feet, 6.3 inches. Now, The only reason you have a bed that big is because you're that big. So this guy must have been somewhere well over 10 feet tall. And it was 4 cubits in its breadth. And 4 cubits means that it was almost 7 feet wide. Because if you're big and you've got proper ratio, then you're wide, not just simply tall and skinny. So this is the massiveness of this guy to tell us how big he was. And he was kind of the last of the giants in that region of the world. Verse 12, Moses continues, "When we took possession of this land at the time, I gave it to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the territory beginning at Aroer, which is in the edge of the valley of Arnon, and half of the hill country of Gilead with its cities. The rest of Gilead and all Bashan, the kingdom of Og, that is all the region of the Argob, I gave it to the half-tribe Manasseh. All that portion of Bashan is called the land of Rephaim. Yair the Manassite took all the region of the Argob, that is Bashan, as far as the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and called the villages after his own name, Havoth Yair, as it is to this day. To Machir I gave Gilead, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave the territory from Gilead as far as the valley of Arnon, with the middle of the valley as a border, as far over as the river Yabbok, the border of the Ammonites, and the Arabah also with the Jordan as the border, from the Kinneroth as far as the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, under the slopes of Pisgah on the east." So effectively, Moses says, and this is the territory that I just recently designated to the 2.5 tribes that are going to join you in the conquest of the Promised Land, but are going to inherit over on this side the annexed territory that was given to us by God through these self-defense fights that went on. Well, we're out of time, so let's mark our place and get back into the Word tomorrow.